Accession number 30418, Mr. Eric Gray Groby, Reel 2.
Myself and my friends used to cycle to Speke Airport and watch the planes landing and taking off and biplanes. My father was quite interested in it too, and he said to me, you know, have you thought about the RAF? This was 1936-37 when there wasn't all that much prospect of there being a war. And at that time, I believe he thought it would be, an interesting career. And so that was it. And I joined the ATC. And
they joined them in 39 then?
39. Uh-huh.
And where were they? Where did they meet? What was the setup? How was it organised?
They met in the local senior elementary school at Heath Road, big secondary school, twice a week. And we.
Now, what sort of uniform did you have?
We had a RAF uniform, that sort of blue, buttoned right up to the neck. No open collar or anything like that, buttoned right up to the neck. But that same material, and a Glengarry cap with a badge on it, ATC badge.
So what sort of activity, what would you do on these meetings? You had you attended twice a week at the school.
Yes.
What would you do there? What would a typical session be like?
Various things we do. We learnt the Morse code. We had...
Now, who taught you the Morse code and how do you do at it? Because that's got a relevance for what you did later.
How did I do?
At it.
Well, when I became a signaller, I was pretty proficient at it. It's the first thing we learnt in the RAF, but yeah. I'd done some of it in... We learnt the Morse code alphabet, dot, dash and so on.
And how did you
And
do
we it? Had little keys, and we used to send messages to one another. First we didn't have headphones, so it was just a big, loudspeaker thing that it went through. Send messages to one another very slowly, and we got a little bit faster at that.
Do you take to it? Because some people don't take to it, some people do.
Yeah, I found the Morse code I got the hang of it quite quickly.
So even while you were in the ATC, you'd learned it by then.
Yeah.
Now, what other training did you get with the ATC?
We had an engine from an aircraft. I don't know what sort it was, a big radial engine. On an iron frame, it went in the woodwork shop of the school, and one of the ATC officers used to tell us about how it worked. We got to know the workings of it and all the rest of it. We did the theory of flight.
Now how much did you do on that?
How much? Well, it was explained to us how aircraft stayed in the air. How if you reduced the pressure on the, above the wing and increased it underneath, it gave you a lift. And it was the work of the engine, the propeller, to provide this turbulence on the top of the wing. All little things like this, and we got into it.
What else did you do?
We learnt about bombs, the types of bombs.
Did you learn the fuses and that kind of thing as well?
Yeah, yeah. And how do we use? I've still got a book, ATC book with the diagrams in it.
What about aircraft?
Wireless.
What did you learn on the wireless?
Well, we just drew diagrams of transmitters, the innards of transmitters, but they were block diagrams. We learned a little bit about valves, different types of valves, but at that period it was going over my head a bit. It was a bit too technical. And of course they didn't have the right equipment. But we learned a little bit about that.
What about aircraft recognition? I think they normally...
Yes, aircraft recognition.
And how did they teach that?
Just big silhouettes. We looked at pictures of the aircrafts in flight, different angles. and then silhouettes of them from underneath or from the front. And we learned about the positioning of the wings, anhedral and dihedral and polyhedral, radial engines and inline engines. All stuff that was useful later on, because we still did a lot of that initially in
the airport. What about drill?
No, we didn't do much drill, no.
So no. Wasn't that military? It was more just teaching you?
Yes, but it was involved with aircraft and the theory of flight.
I just mean, but they didn't drill you. They didn't have, you weren't under discipline.
Oh, no marching, anything like that, no.
Now, did you actually visit Speak or any other airfield nearby?
Well, I used to go on air training corps camps.
Tell me about them.
Where we flew first time in an aeroplane. That was the big attraction.
Now, tell me about your first flight then. Do you remember what sort of aeroplane it was?
Yes. The first flight I had... just a minute now. The first flight I had was in a de Havilland DC, something like the Dragon Rapide, they called it, biplane, and it took 8 of us up.
So now, what was your first flight like in the Dragon Rapide? Because, you know, it's not a big aeroplane, but it is.
No. It was the thrill of being off the ground and looking down from a great height and seeing how different things looked. The thing that I was a bit disappointed with, there was no sensation of speed. There was nothing to judge your speed by. But it was great, you know, seeing. Well, there's nothing under my feet, but I'm up in the air and I'm moving along. It was terrific.
So you weren't nervous or airsick or anything? You just enjoyed it?
No, I was never airsick.
And it was just a joy ride. That was an air acclimatisation flight, was it? Now, did you get up in any other flights and any other aircraft?
Yes. I think there was only one other one, because I only managed to get to 2 training corps camps. They were in the summer, during the summer school holidays. Not that I was I was still at school, wasn't I? Yes. The other flight I had was in an Airspeed Oxford. I think it took 3 of us up, three air training corps lads up. And we were in that for 3 hours. I can't remember. It was wonderful. There had been, these camps were run not all in the same week. They maybe have 1 week, you know, some people couldn't get that week, so they had different weeks. And we were in either second or third week, and we'd been talking to the lads from beforehand. Oh, wait till you get into Oxford. You know, to us that was the end. You know, it was great. It was a biplane. It was a monoplane and had 2 engines. You did get a bit of a sensation of speed. That was that.
What else did you do on these air camps? You know, you went to 2 camps. What else did you do?
We went through the workshops. We saw all that ground crews did. We went to the gym. We had sessions in the gym. There's all sorts of equipment that we'd never seen. Really, you know, for young, healthy blokes, it was... a really interesting time.
Now, anything else you did with the ATC? You were with them a long time, 4 years.
4 years. I can't think really. 1939. Yes. Till 1943. No, I wasn't in it straight away at 39, I don't think. Was I? I can't remember now.
Okay.
It didn't seem like 4 years. I'm sure I only went on 2 camps. Yes, I did.
Now, so...
I know. I know what it was. No, it couldn't have been.
Now, were you in anything else other than the ATC? You weren't in any of the, you know, Home Guard or
yes,
ARP or anything?
Yeah, I was in the Civil Defence.
What?
Just Civil Defence, it was called CD. It was like ARP wardens. They were known as Civil Defence. We wore a navy blue uniform with an oval badge with CD in the middle. And they were air raid wardens and fire watchers. And we used to...
But they were called, they weren't called the ARP, they were called Civil Defence.
Well, the ARP were the air raid wardens, the adults. They were part of the Civil Defence, but we were just Civil Defence.
So when did you join them, roughly? I know you're not too good on dates.
I think before I went into the ATC. Yes, it was.
So sometimes
it was after 1940. I think it was.
To me, if you joined them before that, the air training corps, and you joined them in before 1940, then you joined the air training corps in 1940 or 41 rather than 39.
Yes, I think that's right now, I come to ring. Because I came back from Wrexham in 1940 at the Easter time. And I was still in the Scouts for a while. So it's 1940. 1941.
That would make sense.
Might have been 1942 when I went into the ATC.
Right, so 1942 in the ATC, right, and 1941 into the Civil Defence.
Yeah.
So you've got this blue uniform.
Yeah.
We've got the date sorted there.
Yeah.
You've got this blue uniform there. What did you do with the Civil Defence? Where did you have to meet? What did you have to do with them?
Well, we didn't meet to do anything. We were called upon to do fire watching duties.
Now, what were they? How exactly did you do it?
We went sometimes to schools, never to factories or anything like that. Most of the time, we went to a school near where we lived, the group I was in. And you went there, come home from work, have your tea and go down for 7 or 8 o'clock or something like that before it got dark. For the raids, you could expect raids, and we had one of the rooms set out in double bunks, and there'd maybe be half a dozen of us there to give first warning about incendiary bombs. We had the stirrup pumps and equipment, buckets of sand, to deal with any incendiary bombs, to get them out, extinguished, you know, before they could do any damage.
So would one be on guard and the rest sleeping, or how did it work?
Would
one be on guard and the rest sleeping, or...?
No, I don't think so. We were all sleeping in their bunks. It was usually late on by the time we'd, you know, had... few jokes and laughing and talking, you know.
But if you're all asleep, how would you be keeping fire watch?
I don't know. I can't remember us being awake. We did some fire watching at the place when I was in the ATC. This was later on. We did fire watching as part of our duties in the school where we had our ATC meetings. And there were only three of us there, myself and my two mates. And we had blowy up mattresses on the floor and a sleeping bag. And there was never anyone sort of awake all night.
You know. Perhaps you'd just wake up if the sirens went.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, well, that would be it, yes. The sirens would wake you up, I suppose.
Anything else you did with the civil defence, or was it just, you know, fire watching?
No, civil defence. That was about all we did. Yeah. We learned how to... We went to demonstrations, how to deal with incendiary bombs. Oh, we did a bit of first aid stuff.
And how far did you go into first aid?
Oh, bandaging and checking for broken limbs and what not to do. I can't remember much about it, but we did have... We weren't sort of interested that much in it.
You know? And you didn't have to help us as well. You weren't children by then, not then, them days.
No.
You know, because you were 15, 16, 17, 18. Yeah. Did you have to help with sort of digging rubble and clearing things up, or was that left to real adults?
We never did any of that. No.
Now, anything else happened before we start to get to the point where you decide to volunteer? Because you volunteer, you're not called up.
That's right.
Anything else before you want to talk about? Any incidents?
Well, the thing that I always wanted to join the RAF when I was able. And in those days, you knew as soon as you were 18, or probably maybe a little before you were 18, you received something from the government, the army, or somebody or other, which were your call-up papers. And you had to go to wherever you were told to go and have a medical, be interviewed, and then say, right, you go home, but you'll be recalled such and such a time, and it would be an army regiment. Because there was nothing specialist about infantry training, so usually it meant... If you waited till you were called up, unless you had some special quality, you would be in the infantry. As long as your medical was all right and all the rest of it. But if being in the ATC, the lads who were in with us, who were older than we were disappearing from time to time, as they became approached 18, they would go to the local recruiting office and volunteer, just to make sure that they got into the Air Force, which they'd been training for. And because you'd been in the ATC, that was it. I mean, at the same time we had Air Training Corps, we had Army cadets and Naval cadets, and they would be doing the same thing. But if you were in nothing, you just went where you were sent.
Which was the Army.
Yep.
Now, so how did you go about volunteering? And when? Well, that's 1943, but what about?
I was working at the shipping office in Liverpool, and in my lunch hour, I went to the local recruiting office and wanted to volunteer. I'd taken my ATC documents with me just to prove how long I'd been in. We had like a little passbook thing. And they took all the particulars and said, right, you fill this form in, and you take it and you get your parents' consent, because strictly I wasn't 18 then. And I thought, oh my God, you know, I thought I'd just volunteer. And that would be it, right, you're in. Just wait till we send for you. I said, I need my parents' consent. Oh, yes, it'll be all right. And I thought, my father was as bitter about being in the forces. And I thought, there's no way he's going to allow me to volunteer. But I said, well, I've got to get his permission. So I filled the form in. I took it home, told my father what I'd done. Oh, my God. He hit the roof. He did. He hit the roof. There's no son of mine going in to fight the war. And after all I've done my bits. No son of mine. And I said, Dad, listen a minute. I said, in a few months' time, I'll be 18. And I won't have the option then. He says, well, war might be over, and, you know, you never know what's going to happen. You might be. I says, but it may not be, and from what I can see, it's not going to be. Well, he said, I'm still not in favour of it. I think he knew he couldn't do much about it. Well, he could. He could have refused to sign it. But I said, well, if I wait till I'm 18, I'll be called up. All likelihood, get 6 weeks infantry training, could be out in the Middle East, in the desert, could be anywhere. And he seemed to consider that. He says, I'm volunteering for the Air Force to make absolutely sure I get into the Air Force as air crew. Well, he says, what's that got to do with it? Well, he says, air crew training is going to take months and months. You know, I says, then the war might be finished. I says, I'm not no hero, you know. So don't want to be a hero. So all I want to do is fly. And that seemed to make him see the light. And it went on from there. And that's the way it happened, yeah.
Now, when was this, that you did this?
That would be about January of 1943. January 1943, yes, it was. Because I was, after about a week, I received a rail warrant and instructions to proceed to Padgate for 3 days, aptitude tests, and all the rest of it.
What was Padgate? Is that the Air Crew Receiving Centre? Or
yes, it's...
Was it called that then?
Pardon?
Was it called the Air Crew Receiving Centre?
I think so. I can't remember.
So you went to Padgate?
It was an Air Crew Receiving Centre, because I've spoken to lots of people. Son-in-law's father was a pilot in Lancaster's. He lives down in Sussex, and he went to Padgate initially.
And you went there in January, or would it be?
It must have been January or February. So I was there 3 days.
Now, what was your reception when you got there? Because you know you're arriving.
Yes.
I presume they kick you out and everything.
There were a whole lot of us getting off the various trains. There were RAF Liberty wagons, you know, at the station, you know, piling up with the lads, this CO intake. And we were taken and shown, I think it was Nissen Huts, where we were going to sleep for 3 days, taken to the cook house, shown where that was. And I think we were given a number or some form of identification. And then we had to... the next morning we...
Now, had they kitted you out at all?
Oh, no. This wasn't joining the RAF.
Right.
It was... you're undergoing aptitude tests to see which part of the RAF you wanted to be in, or they thought you were suitable for.
So the second day, what happened that? You wake up in the morning in your hut... So what's the test?
Yeah, the second day we had to be in this, like a big room with She has like a massive doctor's waiting room, but as big as a nursing hut. There were lads sitting around. And down one side, there were a number of little side offices where the boards were sitting. They were the people who were going to interview, you know, the officers, high ranking, some of them. You sat in front of them and they questioned you and why this and why that.
And what do you remember?
We had a bit of a test to do, a written test.
Hang on, stick to the interviews. What were the interviews like first? I mean, what were the interviews like? What were they after?
Well, they wanted to know your background.
So a bit like what I've been doing.
Yeah. They went through your air crew training. Why you joined air crew? Why do you want to do this? Oh, I want to fly, you know.
That was your line. You wanted to be a pilot.
Yeah. Well, to fly anyway. Hopefully to be a pilot. They didn't accept you for a specific job like pilot, navigator, so on. There were two or three categories. After the interview and after the other tests you'd had.
What were the tests? What sorts of tests?
If you'd done Morse, you had a Morse test. You had an English test. You saw ordinary school tests, maths. Asked you a few political questions, as far as I can remember.
any what they call command tasks, you know, these business where you have to show initiative and things like that.
No, not at that stage, no. They asked about your family background, you know, what your parents did and all the rest of it.
So then what?
That they asked me about what I'd been doing in my customs work for the Royal Netherlands Steamship Company, and they seemed most interested in that. Then we did have Morse tests. Oh, he has aircraft recognition tests. A lot of the stuff that we'd done in the Air Force. They were just assessing you for air crew. There was a medical, of course. I think that was the first thing we had.
All right, tell me about the medical. How strict was it? And what did it cover?
Oh, they checked your heart. They checked your reactions to what's happened in the Navy, the thingy. Tested your hearing, your teeth, height and weight, and questioned you about the physical activities you enjoyed and all this sort of thing. Eye tests, yes, we had eye tests, yeah.
Were they doing colourblind tests at that stage?
Yes, I can vaguely remember seeing the circles with different colours in. There's a number of, yes, they did. Yeah.
You wouldn't probably remember it much if you didn't fail it, if you see what I mean. So yeah, I presume you didn't fail it.
No, we did have all that sort of thing.
And you came through the medical fine.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Did they tell you there and then what you were going to do? Or did they?
No,
they just sent you away?
They say you're accepted for air crew. And you got a badge.
What type of badge?
Well, it was a badge to show you were deferred. It was like a little Mercury bloke with wings standing on a ball sort of thing. And they had two of these badges. One was marked PNB. That means you're accepted for pilot, navigator or bomb aimer. The other badge was just marked, what was it? WAPAG or WAG, Wireless Operator Air Gunner. Those were the two.
Which were you?
I was WAPAG, which I was disappointed with at the time. But I thought, well, no, it's air crew.
Now, did they say why you hadn't been selected for you know, navigator or
pilot? No.
That wasn't up for discussion. You just told.
You just told, yeah.